Coming to you from the bottom of Lake Agassiz, welcome to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. I'm a former game warden, a current biologist for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Been a biologist for the anniversary of, what are we on, 14 years? Working towards 15 time flies when you're definitely half, and I do. I absolutely enjoy my job. I am an outreach biologist for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Started my career as a district game warden in Botno and moved to West Fargo in the spring of 97. And that was after, obviously, the horrible winter of 96-97 that many of you can remember way too vividly. And this almost feels like it has, but it hasn't been a replica and a duplicate of 96-97. That was an epic winter, a record winter. I was living in Botno at that time, and I remember in the mid part of April coming down during the, well, maybe it was March, whatever it would have been. I was here for the epic ice storm, which coincided with the Cass County Wildlife Club wild game feed at that time. Was held at what was called Playmakers. And I remember driving from the dome back to my motel, and the ice was coming, and got to my motel. And I think that would have been Saturday night. And I don't think Interstate was open back up till like Tuesday or Wednesday. And I was going from Fargo back up to Botno. And I'll never forget the ant-like line of trucks, semis, cars, vehicles on Interstate 94. I know it was for sure Monday and possibly Tuesday when we got back out on the road. Unbelievable what we went through that winter. And in terms of wildlife, a crushing winter, the 96-97 winter was for pheasants and for deer to an extent as well. And one of the things that wildlife needs is to have the stretches of a week to 10 days, the longer the better, in the middle of winter to rebound. Maybe not even rebound, but to re-energize with food and not be as stressed. And that's what everybody's knocking. Everybody's hanging their hat on maybe if winter has been as strong, that spring will arrive early rather than last year when spring took forever to get here. Regardless of what it was in the winter of 96-97, what it is in the winter of 2013 and 2014, the weather is the X factor. We know we've lost habitat to a serious degree over the last 5 years. And that's gone. What we can't control is the weather, and just hoping for a decent early spring so we can have a decent hatch and some decent production from deer as well. But that's all coming into the future. What we've got coming here on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live, in just a moment, we're going to connect with Chris Grundahl, the outreach supervisor for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. And we will be talking about utilizing the resource. We will also be joined by Pat Stockdale with the Central Dakota Outdoors Report and CJ Johnson with the Minnesota Outdoors Report, regular features on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. But first, I wanted to mention, as we tie in with Chris Grundahl, is with the shrinking deer and pheasant numbers, that I always try to redirect people into enjoying the abundance that we have. And one of those is Canada geese. Our Canada goose population is at record, I don't know, like right here and right now, but the Canada goose population is very strong in North Dakota. And rather than people getting frustrated with the limited number of pheasants, say in Cass County, the shrinkage that we've had in Barnes, Richland, Ransom, Sargent counties, is look at the goose population as an opportunity. And landowners are inclined to open up their gates to people that want to hunt Canada geese. So you could sit at home and wish that we would have had more pheasants in Leonard and in Alice and Litchville and in Fingal. Or you can go out and say, you know what? What we don't have for pheasants around Sheldon, we've got for Canada geese. And I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to get after it. It's the same mentality of northern pike. The northern pike population has been growing the last 10 years, the last 20 years. And the northern pike are, in many people's estimation, underutilized. Chris Grundahl, he's my boss, and he's the outreach supervisor. There's an outreach biologist in Thompson, Marty Eglund, Minot, Greg Gullickson, Bismarck, Pat Lothspike. And Chris loves northern pike. And part of the mindset of getting people to utilize, whether it's Canada geese or northern pike, is getting past the stigma of northern pike. And Chris, let's start off with what people can do to better utilize northern pike and even just teaching them some tips on cleaning northern pike to enjoy them.
There's a couple things before we start when we're talking about removing the Y bones from this pike. One of them being that if I was a beginner, I wouldn't start with anything less than probably a 4 or 5 pound pike as you're trying to learn, because of the fact the bones are so thin and you'll have a tendency to cut through them with a knife. The second thing is, a lot of times you're out fishing pike, you throw them out of your fish house onto the ice and it's cold and they freeze. If they do freeze, it's okay, it's totally fine, but when they thaw, you will find a mucus layer on the outside of the pike. That what I like to do is use newspaper, which most people have around their house. You don't have to use paper towels, and you can just simply wipe that mucus layer off the northern pike. That's a protective layer that the fish has to keep itself from getting diseased out in its environment.
A great spot to start with Chris Grundahl, the outreach supervisor for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. More tips for enjoying the bounty of northern pike that we have right here, right now, when we return on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. And welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. Still to come on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live, we will get you updated on the Minnesota outdoors with CJ Johnson. He's a Lisbon, North Dakota native, and he works the phones in Minnesota for us because he lives in Minnesota. Don't get me wrong. I connect him to Lisbon because that's where he grew up and cut his teeth fishing on the Cheyenne River, but he spent his career covering the outdoors of Minnesota and still does a great job today. And then also Pat Stockdale with a Central Dakota Outdoors Report, the very well-respected outdoors communicator. Pat Stockdale is a regular feature as well. We're talking about pike, and the number of fishing waters in North Dakota has exploded in the last, I'd say, 20 years, since the water came back in 1993. And the expansion of water and sloughs, where folks used to be shooting pheasants and deer and playing softball, they're now catching fish and catching pike and walleye and perch. I can say that matter of fact. There's a spot north of Cullum called Diamond Lake because it was a softball diamond that I played softball on in 1993. I'm not sure when it went out of business, but Diamond Lake is now a great fishery. And there's dozens of other examples. And as the water expanded, the fish populations grew with that. Some of it through connections between culverts, just a natural drainage, recharging. Some of it through stocking efforts from the Game and Fish Department. We don't take credit, full credit, for the excellent fishing that we have in North Dakota. But we do encourage people to utilize it. If you want to get people to utilize Canada geese, you give them ideas of different ways to prepare it and eat it. If people get an affinity for goose jerky or goose sausage, then maybe they've got a little more, there's a little bit more of a desire when August rolls around with the liberal Canada goose numbers to go out and harvest Canada geese. Same mindset goes with northern pike. with a pike limit of now 5 compared to what used to be 3, and 5-pound, 10-pound pike much more prevalent than they were years ago, you got to give people a better... I struggle with the exact word because I don't want to denigrate how good... Northern pike tastes delicious. And even 20 years ago, I loved making pike patties, pike burgers, run them through the meat grinder a couple times, and fry it up like a fish witch. There's a lot of different ways to utilize Northern pike. One thing is getting past the stigma. And Chris Grundahl, the outreach supervisor for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Chris, you started off explaining to us about that protective layer on the Northern pike and about, you know, learning how to clean them is starting with a little bit bigger Northern pike. So you've got that protective layer, which is defense mechanism for Northern pike, but there's a way to get past that. You use the old newspaper. And then when it comes to cleaning, think of it in a different way is what you're saying, right, Chris? What do you use as step number one for people?
So the first step is just like cleaning a perch or a walleye. It's just simply taking the flay off of the pike. And what I like to do is I like to have a little bit larger knife. Again, like if you had a 12-pound pike or an 8-pound pike, you'd probably need a little larger knife. And then when we get to taking out the Y bones, we'll drop down to a little bit smaller finesse knife to do that. Like I said, the first cut is simply the flay cut, like you would do with any other fish. Simply removing the skin from the pike, which is the flay that we will work with, and we'll clean those flays of all the eggs, which just makes it easier to take the rib cage out, which will be the first step, and remove whatever's in the rib cage. So there's our two flays.
Chris Grundahl is the outreach supervisor for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Give us some tips on better utilization of northern pike, and that comes through getting past the Y bones, and that's such a big mental block, Chris. But at the same time, have you found that you can do some of this your own way as through more experience as to what works and what might work better?
As you do these things, you'll find your own process by which you're more comfortable depending on which way you flip things. I like to work at the flay by taking out the ribs. I've changed to a smaller knife, which again is personal preference, but it will allow me to use the tip of the knife a little bit easier, and we don't need a large knife to take out the Y bones because we're not cutting through a large piece of fish.
Chris, when you're taking out the Y bones, do you start out at a different spot? Where do you start out?
Towards the head end, and it is towards the belly of the fish, and that's the first thing we're going to remove are the bones that are the rib cage. And as you're cutting along the top of those bones, you'll see where they start, and you kind of have to feel them as you're using the tip of the knife to take out that rib cage. And what you want to do is try not to cut down too much.
Now, rather than try to explain everything about filleting a northern pike and how to do it, we've got videos on the Game and Fish Department website, and they're not hard to find. We've got pamphlets, everything. I'm trying to make you aware of some tips that you can use without sitting down and diagramming it yourself. And Chris Grundahl is the outreach supervisor for the Game and Fish Department. Chris, we talk a lot about cleanliness in terms of wild game in the field, and it doesn't change for fish either. When you're cleaning any wild fish in game, keeping things clean is a very important part, isn't it?
It doesn't hurt to use a newspaper or a paper towel to wipe off anything that may be on the table that would let that thing slide around, let that flay slide around. If it's a dry table, works a lot.
Chris, we also talk about having the right tools for the job, and having a sharp knife throughout the process has got to be a big part, doesn't it?
And it's so important that the knife is sharp when you're taking these bones out, so you don't have to put a lot of pressure on it, because as soon as you start putting pressure on that knife, you're more apt to cut through one of those thin bones.
Appreciate the tips and the tactics from Chris Grundahl, a very rabid and avid pike angler himself. And the message is that we have an abundance of northern pike in North Dakota, and the hurdle is getting people to appreciate and enjoy them. And we've often said that if you can give people recipes, if you can make somebody, you know, the old adage of you get to a man through his stomach, well, it holds true for fishing as well. If we can get somebody to really enjoy the taste of northern pike, and first thing you need to do is get past the slime, which Chris told us how, and then some tips on cleaning northern pike. There's videos out there that will walk you through it. We have a free pamphlet from the Game and Fish Department that you can get as well. Coming up next in the weekend edition of Outdoors Live, where are those pike? Pat Stockdale with a Central Dakota Outdoors report when we return on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. And welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug. There's still to come on this weekend edition of Outdoors Live. We'll be bringing you a Minnesota Outdoors report with CJ Johnson. Also a little bit of Minnesota news as a new moose study is underway in Minnesota. Some moose getting some new bling, some new jewelry in northwestern Minnesota. And here in just a couple of moments, we'll get you updated with the outdoor recreation. Things picking up outdoors the last, 10 days with as good of ice fishing conditions as you could have had so far this winter. We're not talking about the best that you could ever ask for, but considering what we've gone through with cold, extreme cold, not that 15 below in the middle part of the week is not cold, but things a little bit more tolerable. And Pat Stockdale will bring us up to date with that as well with a Central Dakota Outdoors report. I should mention as well, the spring turkey applications are out in North Dakota. In fact, they're not just out. They're coming up due on Wednesday. On Wednesday, February 12th, if you want to hunt turkeys in the spring in North Dakota, you'll need to have your application filled out. Do it online. It's so much easier to do for you and for us. Apply for your spring turkey tag online at the Game and Fish Department website. The actual turkey season will run April 12th through May 18th. That's when the season opens, but the deadline is coming up Wednesday on February 12th. Statewide, because I know not everybody hunts turkeys in our own backyard, but statewide, 50 fewer turkey tags than last year, 5,880 turkey licenses available statewide. And what else should I throw out there? Oh, when you buy your new small game license, when you buy your new sportsman's license for this year, the prices have gone up. Even the spring turkey application, the spring turkey tag is now $15. It used to be $8. Your general game and habitat license went from $13 to $20. And your combination license, your sportsman's license, went from $32 to $50 is what it'll cost you now. If you're looking at particular units, Turkey Unit 202, which is our backyard of Cass County, Unit 2 is Griggs Steel Trail, Barnes, and Cass County. 400 turkey tags available. Same number as last year. Unit 675, it's a much bigger unit. Starts out on the west from Logan and McIntosh counties. And that also includes Lemoore, Dickey, Ransom, Sargent, and Richland counties. That unit still has the same number of tags, 675. If you hunt the northern edge of the Red River Valley, Unit 50, which goes from Grand Forks County up to Walsh, Pemina, over to Cavalier, Towner, Nelson County as well. 50 more tags if you hunt in that region. There'll be 450 tags available in those units. If you take the unit out by Stutzman County, Kidder County, 150 tags, the same number of tags available there as well. The big thing is the deadline coming up, and then I know from turkey hunters that it doesn't matter how big the unit is, they've got their spot in the spring that they hunt. And I believe these units were retrofitted. I don't know the exact terminology to use, but the current units, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, when the units went from a lot more of a jigsaw puzzle to a little bit easier of a cookie cutter, especially in eastern North Dakota, where you use more county lines instead of some of the vague geographic lines that get a lot more difficult for people to understand where they can go, where one unit starts and the other unit ends. Should also say, here's what we'll do. The deer meetings, the special deer management meetings are coming up, but we've got Pat Stockdale, and let's get a Central Dakota Outdoors report from Pat Stockdale first. We'll do that, And then we'll give you a reminder of the upcoming deer management meetings. Pat Stockdale is a very well-recognized, noted outdoors communicator, an award-winning outdoors communicator. You read her work in Dakota Country Magazine, Minnesota Outdoor News, and a variety of places as well. And each week, she connects with us to give us a better idea of where people are going and what they're doing outdoors. Pat, what's cooking outdoors this week?
Welcome to the Central Dakota Outdoors Report, a look at fishing and outdoor activities throughout eastern North Dakota and the Missouri River system. Well, for those who aren't tired of the seemingly endless winds and cold temperatures and continue heading to area lakes, those going to Devil's Lake will still find fair, perch, pike, and walleye success. However, it's not quite as consistent as in recent weeks. Try buckshots for perch and walleye, or just jigs for walleye. Work 30 feet for walleye along the south end of 6 Mile Bay. For perch, try working 35 feet and deeper in Black Tiger or 6 Mile Bays. Access is getting difficult onto the lake in some spots, but moving around on the lake itself is still pretty good usually. You might want to bring an ice auger extension though. That's the nice thing about the cold weather. It makes ice. I'm not hearing a lot of reports from the region's mid-sized reservoirs, perhaps in part because anglers continue focusing on so many of the small area lakes. Pike success remains fair to good across Richland, Sargent, and Ransom counties. Try tip-ups along drop-offs or channels and transition edges. The best success is generally right after sunrise. Perch and walleye success improved a bit across Lemoore, Barnes, McIntosh, and Dickey County area lakes. Try a plain hook and a whole minnow in 8 to 14 feet or mid-range depths, depending on the lake, shortly before dark. You might also want to try buckshots with minnow heads. Perch success is fairly good using buckshots or dropper rigs with minnow heads or waxworms. The Red River is generally slow, although a few anglers venturing out at night around the Wahpeton area might find a few walleye. Farther west, Lake Audubon remains fair for walleye, although success has slowed a little. Lake Sakakawea is fair for pike on the east end, with scattered walleye success. We're also seeing a little improving success in the Van Hook Arm. Try the east end bays for pike. The Missouri River is still quiet, though, although further south of the tail race, we're talking downriver Bismarck Mandan here, some anglers are fishing around Eckroth Bottoms, Langlers, Cattail, and Beaver Bays, along with down around the state line.
Appreciate that report, Pat Stockdale, with our Central Dakota Outdoors Report. Quick like here, the special deer management meetings, they're not coming up next week, but the week after. And these are the meetings to look at the deer management of North Dakota. It's going to be an overview of where we're at and what may be some options in the future for deer hunting and deer herd management in North Dakota. February 17th in Castleton at the City Hall, 7 o'clock. February 17th, Castleton, City Hall, 7 o'clock. That same night in Devil's Lake at the Lake Region Community College Auditorium. The next week, February 24th, Fordville Community Center, 7 p.m. Jamestown, February 25th at the Bunker on the east side of town. You're listening to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. A Minnesota Outdoors Report with CJ Johnson is next. And welcome back to the last shot for this weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. We have CJ Johnson on the line joining us here. We'll get to CJ Johnson here in just a couple of moments. But I wanted to bring you up to date. Interesting work continuing on moose numbers in Minnesota. More research. 52 adult moose will be collared in northeastern Minnesota. In fact, they probably did it already. I think they were going to try to get that done on Thursday. And when you go back to, these are adult moose. When you go back to last spring, there was a calf moose study that was implemented. And 49 calf moose were collared in May, and by September, 70% of them were dead. So when you don't have moose making it from May to September, you've got some serious issues. The question I always put out there is, so you can find out what they're dying from, wolves, bears, and that is what some of the research showed on the calf moose, but then what can be done to improve the recruitment of moose from one year to the next. So what they're doing in Minnesota is 52 adult moose in a GPS study, and they've got to replace 22 adult moose among the 107 in the study that died over the last year. So they've lost 22 out of 107 in the current study. They'll start collaring 36 moose across Minnesota, and this is researchers in conjunction at the Grand Portage Band of Chippewa. They collared the first of 16 moose for their own study. These studies are not just going on in Minnesota. They're going on in North Dakota as well, as we track the gradual change of moose from being found in the Turtle Mountains and the Pembina Gorge region to now being more along the Missouri River than ever before. But let's get to CJ Johnson. He is a Lisbon, North Dakota native and spent his career covering the outdoors for Minnesota, and he connects with us each week. CJ, thanks for joining us. How's things looking outdoors in Minnesota this week, my friend?
Hey, not bad at all, Doug, by golly. In fact, we'll jump right into it because we have a bunch of them coming in. The weather's getting a little bit better. It's been colder too, by the way, which helps all that slush we had all winter long under the snow on a lot of the lakes. Anyhow, Paul Nelson up in the Bemidji area reports the ice conditions are improving because of the cold weather. Many of the fish now have been moving out of the deepest parts of the lakes up in the Bemidji area into more moderate depths. And walleyes and crappies, they've been most active in the morning and evening. Perch, sunfish, northern pike, they've been more active now during the day. Many of the walleye anglers are using jigging spoons for the walleye. And neutral colors like gold and silver often work better in the day, but use the glow jigs, if you can, during the evening hours. Johnson's Portside and Terry's Boat Harbor in the Mille Lacs Lake area, they both report good-sized northern pike seem to be hitting the bays in about 15 feet or less of water right now. They're a bit deeper on the main lake, however. Sacramento's working best. There's also been a jumbo perch caught here and there in the bays in about 9 to 15 feet of water. And if you're staying interested in walleyes, look for the perch and so forth first, because the big predator fish will follow them, and they'll be then mixed in with the perch. Lake of the Woods Tourism says the south shore of the lake, use a two-hole approach. That means use a jigging spoon in one and a dead stick in the other. Now, most of the walleyes in the Sauger are being caught down 27 to 34 feet. And there's also been a good walleye bite on the Rainy River in the morning and evening hours in about 20 feet of water near the airport and Clemenson Bay. At Northwest Angle, walleyes can be had in 23 to 28 feet of water at the Golden Triangle, Oak Island, and Little Oak Island. If these places are new to you and you had a head up there, just check at the bait shop. They'll tell you where they are. Now, skipping a holler away from Lake of the Woods, the Loon's Nest on Rainy Lake reports jigs tipped with chubs are producing walleyes and perch in about 30 feet off Birch Point in Sand Bay during the morning and evening hours as well. Now, during midday hours, sucker minnows have turned northern pike in 15 to 20 feet of water in the Rainy Lake City area. Fish in that area, and you're going to be good for northerns to go. Nisswa Guide Service in the Brainerd area is the north end of Gull Lake, giving up sunfish and pike in 10 to 14 feet of water. Again, we're working a little bit shallower now. Also look for sunfish in 10 to 15 feet at Cullen Lake, North Long Lake, and Nisswa Lake. Glow jigs and rainbow minnows are triggering walleyes in about 28 to 30 feet of water. Jamie Hanton over in the Otter Tail Lakes area, that's the Fergus Falls area of Minnesota, says the walleye bite has picked up in the past week, and when the days get longer, the fish species go through changes, most of the time for a positive reason. And low-light fishing still tending to be the most productive, the fish are feeding better and longer as the days lengthen. Panfish are biting right now especially. Look for flat areas, 9 to 12 feet of water around sanding vegetation. Give tiny spoons a try for the first time right now, and tip one of the treble hooks with a wax worm or a piece of Berkeley chub. That seems to be doing just fine. Becca Hart over in Detroit Lake says the bite for walleyes have been pretty slow. Panfish activity has been the most active. Crappies are set up in two patterns right now this time of the year. They're suspended in 20 to 25 feet of water over basin areas or edges and pockets of shallow weeds. Jigs or jigging spoons are taking most of the fish tipped with minnows wax rooms, or plastics right now. They're hitting in all of them. Sunfish remain active in shallow weed areas. They can be caught during the daylight hours pretty easy. Northern pike action has picked up with fish biting larger minnows now in 8 to 14 feet of water. Again, they're moving shallow. Tip-ups or aggressive jigging with spoons are both producing fish right now. And, Doug, you know, winter has always been fun for me, and as a youngster in Lisbon, North Dakota, and as a representative for the Minnesota sports shows around the country, and I used to go to a lot of sports shows for tourism in Minnesota, and I remember one in Chicago. It's a long show, about 10 days, or was, and
sure.
Slow in the early week, and there was a mom and daughter waiting for their dad, standing in the aisle in front of my booth one day. The little girl kept looking up at a big moose in the backdrop. My booth that had a big photo of a moose up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her and I said, finally, you know, we're giving away free moose rides all winter in Minnesota. Well, she looked at me. Mom flipped her head around, looked at me, and they started walking over to my booth. So I said, okay, now let me explain now. Well, we have a lot of moose in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
As big as the one here in the backdrop. Her mom said, you're giving away free moose rides? I said, yeah. Well, here's how it works. Really, we just give you a rope. You got to go catch them yourself. A lady in the booth across the aisle from where I was after mom and daughter walked away smiling said, I heard all that. Are you crazy? I said, no, I was tested as a youngster. But I hope you noticed they picked up booth at my booth, or brochure at my booth. They didn't pick anything up. Yours.
Exactly.
You got to smile once in a while.
It's all about the catch.
Yeah, remember, fishing's always great. It's the catching you got to work on.
Words to live by. Great stuff, CJ. We love the reports, the stories, the humor that goes along with it. Thanks again so much for your time, CJ. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime, Doug.
And that was the last shot for this weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Don't forget to check out kfjo.com for the Outdoors Live blog. For podcasts of this program as well, which is a big thank you going out to Bob Harris, the executive, Monday morning edition of Outdoors Live. And we'll be right back here Monday morning at 6:20 with an Outdoors Live update. Until then, I'm Doug Lear reminding you, as always, keep your lines tight and your powder dry. Have a great one out there.